Amen. Let us stand and share together in our confession of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. Let us unite together in our confession. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today's scriptures are from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20, and Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Please follow along silently as I read aloud. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord, your God, is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on the day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Our second lesson is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So I call to our attention once again our New Testament reading from the fourth chapter of Philippians, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, Paul was in jail. and awaiting trial on account of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was clear that this church in Philippi, the first church established by the Apostle Paul on European soil, was in conflict. Opposition to this young church was so intense that one of Paul's primary objectives in writing this letter was to encourage its members to persist in their faith, even in the face of external opposition, and even while confronting internal conflict. And for some, there was even the prospect, the possibility of being under the penalty of death for holding on to their beliefs. You'll find a similar tone of encouragement taking place in the book of Revelation, where the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself, speaking through John, the author of Revelation, is exhorting a number of churches in Asia Minor to persist in their faith, despite similar forces of external opposition and internal conflict. And for Paul in our text from Philippians this morning, as if his own imprisonment on account of Jesus Christ, as well as the external opposition and the internal conflict, were not enough, the very person who was sent to visit with Paul in prison, bringing with him gifts from the church in Philippi, became so seriously ill while visiting with Paul that Paul had to send this visitor right back. Now listen to what Paul says earlier in Philippians 2nd chapter, verses 25 through 30, about this individual named Epaphroditus. "Still, I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for all of you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. He was indeed so ill that he nearly died. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, in order that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. Welcome him then in the Lord with all joy and honor such people, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for those services that you could not give me." So whenever we think that we're going through a rough patch in life, let us try and compare our situation with the situation of these first early Christians. And for all of us here in the church today, if ever we want an illustration for how best to deal with stress And with stressful situations in life, we should always remember and think about Paul's example. So with all that we think we may be going through in life at a given moment in time, and we all have our own share of life situations to contend with at times. You have yours and I have mine. Then let us all think again about what Paul, at the time he wrote this exhortation to the church in Philippi, was going through when he said to this church, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And think again about the dozens of other occasions that we see Paul in Scripture facing hardship and adversity of every kind humanly imaginable. As we said earlier, when Paul wrote this particular letter to the church in Philippi, he was in jail, awaiting trial, the outcome of which could have either resulted in continued imprisonment or even worse, possible execution, all on account of the good things he was doing to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ within the Roman Empire. He was doing good, and yet he was under the very penalty of death himself. So when you think that you're going through something in life, think about your brother in Christ, Paul. This new church Paul had founded in Philippi, the very first church he had established on European soil, was under duress for the same reasons Paul was, on account of promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ within the Roman Empire. And so this church was facing opposition from the outside as well as some internal conflict from within. Some folk may be tempted to believe that denominational stress is peculiar to our time. But there were internal disagreements even within the church in Paul's time as well. And while stress never feels good, sometimes like a fever, it purifies the body. Sometimes stress can serve as the refiner's fire that separates out the pure gold and the pure silver from the dross. Sometimes stress can serve to separate out the true champions of faith from the pretenders. So with all that the church that the Apostle Paul founded in Philippi was up against both externally as well as from within, and with all that Paul himself was personally going through, what does Paul now have to say? And why is his message particularly instructive for us in this present Christmas season, when so many have a keener awareness of what others may have in terms of family, good health, or other particular blessings of life that they themselves may not currently have? Sometimes this season is a reminder for some of where you are relative to someone else. others may have, the benefits and blessings of family and things wrapped tight in their lives while your life is, in your mind, perhaps unraveling. So let us now listen again with all of Paul's own context in mind. When he wrote what we read in our text this morning from Philippians 4th chapter, verses 4 through 7. Paul says, at the very outset of this text, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And then he goes on to say, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what could Paul possibly have meant when he wrote this, when he said this? And what is its meaning for us today? Especially as we move closer to our own celebration of Christmas. Is Paul suggesting that we can still find peace even when fires, floods, and storms can continue to wreak havoc on the land? Even when loved ones are ill? Or even when sometimes bad things do happen even to good people and vice versa? And is Paul really serious when he says to keep on praying with fervor and even with thanksgiving, even when the devil, the enemy of our faith, seems always to be on the top doorstep, if not directly knocking at our door? Was Paul suggesting that we should still remain grateful, even if we have a prodigal family member, a wayward coworker, or a boss whose role, it seems, in life is to make our lives more stressful by the minute? And was Paul implying that there is a way to step into a measure of God's comfort and peace, even when you've recently lost a loved one? It's amazing to me how the closer we seem to get to Christmas and the new year, the more sometimes we seem to hear about folk going through changes of one kind or another. Just seems like a lot of stuff seems to happen around this time of the year. I don't know if that's just me. But in the world of today, what is generally held to be a celebration for the masses is for many more than we can imagine. Often a time of difficulty, anxiety, and depression. And for all too many, this holiday season is as much a reminder of what so many other people have that we wish we had. Oh, I know I may not be speaking everyone here this morning. But for some, the sad reality is that Christmas and the holiday season can often seem like more of a burden than it is a blessing. And so it is for these folk in particular, and everyone in general, that Paul's message this morning is especially relevant. Because if ever anyone knew how to do more with less, then it had to be Paul. Paul says later on in this same fourth chapter of Philippians, verses 11 through 13, not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. For I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So when Paul writes this epistle to the church in Philippi, a church that often felt overwhelmed by both external and internal forces of conflict, Paul is giving us a window into his secret of finding one's own source of contentment in any and all circumstances of life. And just what is this secret that Paul wishes to share from his own physical place of imprisonment? The clue, I believe, is right here in front of us in the text itself. Rejoice in the Lord always. And when you think about it, if you really do know the Lord, you will always find in him a reason to rejoice. For he is and will always be our ultimate source of hope. And he is and will always be our best way out of the darkness around us. And he is and will always be the author of our faith, which is to say, the reason we have faith to begin with, as well as the finisher of our faith, the one who is for all who seek to persevere in faith through all of life's ups and downs, the finisher of our faith, meaning the one who has the power and the capacity to bring our faith to its rightful completion in victory. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. What did Paul say later on in Philippians? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The author and the finisher of our faith. So the Apostle Paul is telling us this morning to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice not in how much money you have, not in what kind of car you drive or the kind of clothes you wear, not even in the humans you put your hope in today, who may very well disappoint you on tomorrow. For Psalm 116, verse 11 reminds us, humans are all a vain hope. Paul goes on to say, again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. And then he says, the Lord is near. Which puts this passage for us squarely in the Christmas season. And if it is true that the one whom we've been waiting for as humans is nearer to us now in this holy season of Christmas than ever before, then truly we can rejoice. And then do as Paul says in filling out the rest of this passage in the final two verses. In verses 6 and 7, Paul says, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so while we need to be clear about what Paul is saying, we also need to be clear about what Paul is not saying in revealing to us his secret of contentment. What Paul is not saying is to simply, quote unquote, put on a happy face. That would have been far too simplistic to be credible or even meaningful. The Psalms remind us that we as humans are capable of a broad range of emotions. That's how we are created. And to deny those emotions when we experience them is to deny our own humanity. And we need always to remember that God also weeps whenever one of God's children weeps. So Paul doesn't mean simply to quote unquote put on a happy face even when tough times sometimes do catch hold of us. But neither would Paul have us to wallow long in our despair, or begin to believe that we have nothing upon which to hang our hopes on. Because if in fact, quote unquote, the Lord is near, as Paul reminds us, we will always have a reason to have hope. And we will always have a reason to believe that our hope is already on the way. And that hope, of course, is Jesus, who gives all believers in true faith access to the most powerful and the most gifted force in the universe. And this will always be our hope and our expectation in this Christmas season and indeed in every season. For the gift of a Savior is always at hand. And so, beloved, if I have nothing else in this Christmas season to feel good about, and if the only thing I can feel good about is my belief that God in the form of a tiny baby born to peasant parents has come to remind me that I am not forsaken, forgotten, or alone, but that God himself will be with me, then I will always find then in Jesus my ultimate reason to rejoice. Because, As the prophet Zephaniah has also reminded us in our Old Testament text this morning in verse 17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory, who will rejoice over you with gladness, who will renew you in his love. Beloved, if we have nothing else under our Christmas tree this Christmas season, if we have no one else to sing us the carols, the Christmas carols of old, if we have nothing else we can think of for which we can hang our hat on, the prophets of old are telling us we have the promise of a Savior. And Paul is telling us that that promise has now come to full fruition in Jesus Christ. So, beloved, wherever you are in your journey this morning, let the joy of Jesus find you. And wherever you are in your emotional state of affairs, let the peace of our Savior to come encompass you. And wherever you may be in your physical state of affairs, let the hope of Mary's infant baby to come sustain you. For as Paul has implored us to do at the very outset of our text this morning, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Amen, and thanks be to God who allows such things to be so. We open the doors of this church and of our hearts this morning to anyone present who may not currently have the benefit or the blessing of a church family or a church home from which you can continue to grow your faith. We want you to know that we are here on behalf of Christ our Savior to receive you as you are and to welcome you into the fellowship of his Spirit. So let